Good morning. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. Start in verse 24. Matthew 6, 24. Sure, nice to have a week of sunshine. It's basically what we had is yesterday morning. Well, we have a blanket in a doorway, and there's a to try to keep the heat in one section, which we're needing less and less nowadays. But at the top of the blanket, there's like an opening. And yesterday morning, the sun was at just the right height where it looked like a laser beam. I mean, it wasn't that red, obviously, but a thick orange laser beam, like right across the wall, at about, this far below the ceiling. It was pretty neat looking, but that sun sure beckons us. I don't know. The warmth is nice. Yesterday we spent about, I don't know, 5 hours driving, going down to see my brother-in-law who had the bladder removed, and he's doing excellent, by the way. Appreciate your prayers for that. He's well, he's excited. The first couple of days, a lot of pain, very large incision, but he's doing very well, and he's really thankful for everything and so forth. But spend a lot of time driving, really beautiful out to drive in the sun and so forth, and I don't know, kind of can change our perspective a little bit sometimes. Just the sun and springtime coming and snow melting and being able to get outside, hopefully soon, quite a bit and so forth. So, but that sun sure does help. But let's start with prayer. Father, we do thank you for your love, and we do thank you for the sunshine, and we do thank you, Lord, that just as the sun that we see outside, Lord, just brightens everything up, Lord, illumines everything, Lord, that your son does the same thing in the heart and in the life of a sinner, Lord, that will repent and be saved. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for how that's happened in our own lives, Lord, as we trust to Christ to be our Savior. And Father, as we look into your word this morning, help us, Lord, to just, Lord, allow you to search us and try us and know our hearts and see if there be any wicked way in us, Lord, that we might just be better suited for your service. And once again, we just want to give you the praise and thanks and for the privilege it is to be able to gather here this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 6 and verse 24. Matthew 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And as I was preparing for this, I guess I kind of thought about a title. I don't know, I guess I don't always title everything, but I just thought of contentment or covetousness, basically. And as we see here, the Gentiles seek after such things, and we need to make sure that we're not misunderstanding this. Obviously, we're supposed to take thought as far as preparing and planning to meet the needs that we have for ourselves and for our family. But the whole, obviously, the idea here is to not worry about it. You know, because when we worry, well, we think about a lot of the different physical problems people can have from worrying. I mean, I'm sure that a lot of heart problems and high blood pressure and all kinds of different anxiety and all kinds of different things are as a result of not having faith in God and trusting Him. And we know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we know here from this scripture that God will take care of us. It's not a maybe or a hope so, but it is something that He will do. And the struggle we have sometimes is with His timing. You know, what His timing might be as far as providing different things that we would hope for. But He promises. And in verse 33, we need to put first things first, and that is to seek first the kingdom of God. We need to always place that first. We need to always be focused on the eternal aspect. We need to always have our goals and our plans and our aspirations be something that is heavenly looking, so to speak. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow. God's going to provide. Now, it doesn't mean we don't plan. You know, one of the things recently that was a large bill for us was paying the winter taxes. You know, and I can't, you know, the day before figure out, I wonder where that money's going to come from. Maybe I better go get an extra job today to pay him. Well, it's not going to work. You're not going to be able to pay him. You know, you got to plan for things. You know, we don't have an escrow where it's not part of our payment, you know, like some people do, which, you know, however you do it, it's fine. It's fine, but I just chose not to do it that way. And then I, you know, just either save up a certain amount of money, or I know how much extra is going to be in a certain check to pay for it. You know, but you can't wake up the day it's due and try to figure out how to pay it. You know, you got to have a plan for those things. But the problem is worrying about it. The problem is not realizing, not trusting, not knowing. God's going to take care of us when we do our part. We've got to obviously work and do our part and save as needed and so forth for different things. But we need to trust God. We need to trust God. And let's also, excuse me, let's look in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. Colossians 3, 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Now that doesn't mean, I mean, we could look in Proverbs 31 about how the woman there, she takes care of her family. She's making things for them. She's making sure they're warm, they're clothed, and so on. So let's not misunderstand things about how we just don't plan or we don't concern ourselves with it at all. We got to plan and take care of things, but our goal has got to be God's kingdom first. And when things get tight or we wonder about things, how is God going to provide for this? We got to have the faith we need, you know, faith from God's word that we need to be able to see that He is definitely going to take care of things. And then also, too, what are our goals? I mean, we know for sure three things are eternal: the souls of men, the word of God, and God Himself. And those are the things that we need to invest in, the things that are eternal: our time, our resources, and so forth. But we need to have our focus heavenward. We need to have our focus on the things that are above, excuse me, not on things on the earth. Pardon me, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. One of the reasons why we don't always have everything before we need it, as we might hope, excuse me, is we have to be able to learn to pray. We have to be able to learn to trust. I remember, I'll never forget the illustration that Pastor used on a regular basis about how he needed those work boots. I don't remember how old he said he was, but he needed those new work boots. And he put it on his prayer list one morning and he prayed for it. And then he went out. I don't know if he went to his car that morning or after work. I don't know. But he said he found a brand new pair of work boots in his truck or car or whatever it was. And he had forgotten that he even had put it on his prayer list. But see, that's how God is. He knows what we have need of before we even ask. And you know, God's timing is perfect about when he's going to provide for those things. But in Hebrews 4, and let's look in verse 16. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And very often for many of us, you know, we have a financial need, we have a physical need. Obviously, all of us have spiritual needs. Nobody in the room's there yet. But any kind of need we have, we need to come to God boldly. And part of that is based upon the fact that we know he loves us. He wants to take care of us. He's going to provide for us. You know, and we think sometimes in the different physical needs that we might have, you know, what God might be trying to accomplish, what's God trying to teach me? But we need to trust him. We need to trust him through all of our needs, physical needs, financial needs, spiritual needs, whatever they might be. And a part of that is realizing that God is going to provide the grace. He's going to provide the grace. We know, let's look in 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12. He is going to provide the grace. The thing for us is to make sure that we are humble enough to see that we've got to receive it. And that's what's going to bring us through. You know, because sometimes we want to figure out things ahead of God's timing or know things ahead of God's timing. And we all know there's many things we're not going to understand until we're in eternity. But we have to trust God. We have to know he's good. And that has to be at the forefront of our mind. It has to be there. Situation with my brother-in-law there. I guess bladder cancer is something that you really can't treat as far as with, and somebody might know more about this. I'm not claiming to be an oncologist or anything. Just from what I understand about it, it's very aggressive. And it's something that if you have it and they remove it, it comes back very quickly. Or maybe it's a certain type of bladder cancer that does that. But anyway, for him, it was either like every 3 months doing some kind of treatment or whatever, and still having the possibility of it coming back. Or actually what they do is they take a part of your small intestine and they actually make a bladder or something that functions as a bladder out of that small intestine. It was kind of interesting to hear about it. And actually, you know, it's a very involved surgery where, you know, the insides are dealt with quite a bit. But, you know, I mean, without that, you know, what would his future be? It'd be, you know, it'd be treatment and more treatment and the cancer coming back. And my sister actually said that he looks better now than he has in a year. And that's 5 days or 6 days after having a very major intrusive surgery. And you know, that just goes to show you, and it's just like sin. You know, when we have sin in our hearts, you know, it bogs us down spiritually. It bogs us down physically. And just like when cancer is in somebody's body, it's the same way. You know, and sin is just like a cancer. But 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, and he said unto me, and we know that this is talking about Paul, and he had the thorn in his flesh. Very likely he had some kind of an eye problem. But verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And you know, in our own human minds, we think that's totally backwards. That's totally backwards. How can I be strong when I'm weak? We have to remind ourselves, what is our strength? Our strength is nothing. You know, our wisdom is nothing. It's not going to make sense out of things the way it should. Yesterday we were talking about the word reprobate. You know, what did reprobate mean? We didn't have a dictionary in front of us, so we were kind of talking back and forth a little bit about what reprobate means. And basically, I got home and I looked it up on Webster's 1828. You know, because the Bible talks about in Romans 1 about how God gave him over to a reprobate mind and so forth. And the dictionary definition there was void of judgment, like having no judgment. You know, we got to discussing how, you know, in America at times, that's where we are. You know, people can't make sense out of, you know, we need oil and there's how much of it up in Alaska, but we don't want to drill because of the trees. I mean, that just goes to show there's just no sense there. I mean, and you know, we, and maybe this has changed, but you know, from what I understood, a lot of the forest fires that happen are because the forests aren't allowed to be, I don't know, what do they call forest? Anyway, they're not allowed to be managed, is what I'm trying to say. You know, go in and take some trees out and take care of it, but it's almost like we want to worship that land. And so what happens? A thing of lightning comes up and the whole forest is gone, tens of thousands of acres, because we don't take care of things. And in America, we are void of judgment. But you know, spiritually speaking, that's how we get sometimes when we get so focused on a certain plan or goal or desire. You know, and we forget this whole thing here about how God, His grace is sufficient for us. In whatever we're dealing with, financially, physically, spiritually, God's grace is sufficient. And then this is the Lord speaking, obviously, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Until we come to the end of ourselves, until we realize, you know, we can't do this, until we realize that we need to have a broken and a contrite spirit, we need to have humility, God really isn't going to be able to work in us. And we see that proof from James. And let's turn there, James 4. James chapter 4. So important. So important. The whole idea of humility. It's really, if not our number one need as Christians, it's pretty close. It's pretty close. Because if we don't have humility, we're going to be doing things in our own strength, our own wisdom, from our own hearts and so forth, and God is not going to be able to bless us. But in James chapter 4 and verse 6, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, excuse me, but giveth grace unto the humble. And there's really not an in-between for this. You know, either we're humble enough, I don't know, is that really the thing? Either I guess I'd say we're either in a state of humility where God can work in us, or we're not. But anyway, either we have the humility that we are dependent upon God, rather than dependent upon our own thinking or our own goals and plans and so forth. But it's real plain, God resisteth the proud. If we're depending upon ourselves, depending upon anything up from ourselves, God's resisting that, and that's not a place that is not a place that we want to be. Let's turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Psalm 119 in verse 36. It's been a real blessing to see the out at the sheriff's camp again. There's a good group coming out now. I think total at the camp when I was there Thursday was like 46 maybe, and I think five different guys came out. You know, pretty attentive group. You know, pretty interested group. You know, it's well, like just now I said, turn to Psalm 119. You know, we all turn there. You know, they I don't know where I had them turn the other day, but you know, they're wondering where Corinthians is, or you know, and like Pastor said, you know, you tell them to turn to First John or John, and they think they got Saint John and Saint Matthew and all that. But they're so well. Hopefully, the hunger they're showing. You know, the five that were there, the four of them really seemed pretty hungry. You know, hopefully it will translate into something as far as a spiritual growth You know, and a beginning point in that, and something that we try to instill in our children, you know, by their time they're 5, 6, 8 years old, is all the books of the Bible and where to find them. I mean, obviously they're not going to, you know, be perfect with it all the time, but that's what we're trying to get them to do, is be able to turn. And, you know, and that's a part of the great blessing it is of having so many different verses during the preaching time. If nothing else, we make sure we know where books are in our Bible, in addition to knowing what the Bible teaches all over the place. But this verse right here, you know, that's those guys, they need to be in the Word of God. We all do. But for them to learn the Bible and where things are and so forth. But verse 36, incline my heart unto thy testimonies. So this is a request. You know, and that's what we need to be inclined to God. You know, whatever we struggle with, whatever we desire, that it would be according to God's word, his testimonies. But that we would ask God for this. You know, incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. And it all goes back to a familiar phrase we've heard many times. Either sin's going to keep us from the word, or the word is going to keep us from sin. It's the same idea. Not just this whole idea of covetousness, excuse me, but any sin. But any sin. Mark chapter 7. So we see there that we're going to have victory over this through the word of God. And then Mark 7. Mark chapter 7. Mark 7 and verse 21. Mark 7, 21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. And we know this is a result of our old nature. And we can see another comment about this from Luke 12. So let's turn there. From our old nature, you know, and God wants us to be content. God wants us to be thankful with what we have. You know, and it's more than just material things. You know, we started off looking there in Matthew about eating, drinking, what we're going to wear, but it's also different things. You know, it might have something to do with the physical ailment that we have. You know, and it might be something that, like in Paul's situation, God doesn't take away from us. And like I've already mentioned, we might not know the reason. We might not know the reason while we're upon earth. So it's more than just the material type things. But in Luke 12 and verse 15, the Bible says, and he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness. We need to take heed about this. And this verse here obviously talks about the material. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. But we could also apply that to our health. You know, not just in the material realm, but in our health. You know, as far as, I mean, we want to be healthy. It's good to strive to be healthy, but sometimes God brings things in our life and we might not know the reason, but there is a reason. And we've got to have our mind stayed on him if we're going to have victory in that situation. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 and verse 1. Ephesians 5, 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. And it goes on and lists some more things. But God takes this seriously. God takes this seriously. Colossians chapter 3 also. Let's turn there. God takes this seriously, just like anything. And I'm not trying to elevate this to a higher degree than other things that you know could be spoken about this morning. But God wants us to take this seriously. You know, because we see from this verse here in verse 5 of chapter 3 of Colossians that covetousness is idolatry. You know, we see here, verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And it's not just this area, but anytime we put something before our relationship with God, anytime we have something that removes our attention away from God, it's a danger. It's a danger to ourselves. It's a danger to those around us. And let's look at Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. In verse 5. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. The Bible says, let your conversation be without covetousness. And this is not just referring to what we say. This is referring to our whole lifestyle. You know, live a lifestyle. Live a life. Speak words that are free from this, have desires that are free from this, have thoughts that are free from this. So let your conversation be without covetousness. And it's the whole of our lives. It's the whole of our lives. And be content with such things as ye have. And the next part of the verse really needs to be something that just really gets our focus on. You know, how is this possible? You know, because part of what our struggle is, we look on the earthy too much and the earthly, but we need to have our mind be heavenly. And the verse continues on and says, "For he has said, Jesus, God, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And so, and at times, what happens for us is we start thinking about, well, this material thing or this health issue or something, it's something that I can't bear. Or if I am bearing it, sometimes we think, well, you know, God somehow abandoned me in this. You know, or God doesn't care about me because I'm dealing with this or because I don't have this. But he tells us just the opposite. He tells us just the opposite. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so no matter what kind of a lack we might think we have, materially, financially, physically, spiritually, God's saying, I'm right there. I'm right inside of you. I'm indwelling you. and that needs to give us courage. You know, that needs to give us comfort in whatever thing we might be dealing with. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4. Philippians 4, and verse 4 is where we'll start. Philippians 4, 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. don't worry, is basically what it's saying. Don't worry about anything. That's a hard thing to do. Don't worry. I mean, we all have loved ones. I'm sure we have either loved ones or neighbors or friends or coworkers that we know that if the Lord were to come back today, they're not going anywhere. You know, and many of them have heard the gospel, and if they have heard the gospel, then they won't have any more opportunity, because God will send them strong delusion that they're going to believe the lie. You know, and if they were to die today, we know they're not right with God, but yet God tells us, don't worry about it. Now we need to pray, as it continues on in this verse. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So it's something that will keep our will and our desires, but also our thoughts. And we've got to take those captive, as we could see from 2 Corinthians there. But God wants us to have this peace about whatever situation it is. And then verse 8 about right thoughts, making sure we're thinking on the right things to keep that our minds might be doing the right thing. Because it's not like God is mystically somehow going to prevent us from help us have always the right thoughts. We've got to do our part and take our thoughts captive. But then down in verse 11, verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content, whatever state. And then verse 12, I know both how to be abased and how I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And it's no accident that verse 13 is right here. It's no accident. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. No matter whether we are abased or abounding, we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. Whether we're hungry or well-fed, we can be content with what God is providing. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6. First Timothy 6 and verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. If we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. And then let's finish up in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. First Thessalonians 5, I'm turning to one more verse I want to read. So 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, 18, the Bible says, in everything give thanks. In everything. You know, we just saw Paul there. He's abounding and he's abased. He's well fed, he's hungry. In everything give thanks. The Bible says here, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, and sometimes we wonder about the will of God. It's kind of, you know, sometimes we might think it's kind of elusive. You know, how do I find it? Well, it's the Word of God, first of all. And God will lead us and guide us through His Word. But if nothing else, we know to give thanks all the time. And then just I'll read it to you real quick here. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And that's what we need. We need God's strength. But a part of that is having the humility to depend upon Him and allow Him to be on the throne of our life, so to speak, so that what we think we have need of, God's going to provide it as He sees fit. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You for Your love and goodness, and we thank You, Lord, for Father, just how You truly do care for us, how You'll never leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, help us to just give thanks in those promises and trust in the truth of in the fact that they are truth. And Lord, that they can help us to have the strength and power and courage we need, Lord, that we might not faint in the different struggles that we might be having. We do thank You, Lord, for just Your bountiful blessings, Lord, so much to give thanks for. And Lord, the beginning and foundation of that is our salvation in You. We praise You for that. And we just ask, Lord, that You continue to work in our hearts and just lead, guide, and direct in the service to come. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.